Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure. Pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good for the last drop.
And that drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Toby Reed, Gail Gordon, Hans Conried, Frank Nelson, Meredith Wilson and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and Bill Goodwin.
For America's Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for America's everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
Well, as we join the Burnses today, we find George walking slowly home from the cigar store, accompanied by his friend, Bill Goodwin.
I guess I should explain why I'm walking so slowly, Bill.
Oh, you don't have to explain, George. I see the leaves rustling.
Well, what's that got to do with me walking slowly?
Well, there's a little breeze, and you're bucking it.
No. That's not it. I'm in no hurry to get home because I know what's cooking. See, there are two more shopping days until Easter, and Gracie's going to ask me for money to get a new outfit.
Oh, well, then I'd better not come in with you, George. I hate to see a grown man cry.
It's not the money. I don't care about that. It's the way she tries to get it. Every year she goes through the same routine. She flatters me. Now watch. The minute I walk into the door, she'll say, "My, you're handsome today." Then she'll say, "What sex appeal?"
You're kidding.
Then she'll say, "What a big, broad chest. What a slim, narrow waist."
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And then she'll say, "What strong, straight legs." After that, she asks me for the money.
George, you're making this up.
No, I'm not. Well, here we are. I'll show you.
Oh, hello, boy.
Hi, Gracie.
Good morning, dear.
My, you're handsome today.
See, Bill?
What sex appeal.
I told you.
What a big, broad chest.
Sure.
What strong, straight legs.
You left out the waist.
Oh, yeah. What a slim, narrow waist.
Now back to the legs.
What strong, straight legs.
Well, that's the end of the routine. That doesn't
matter. Yes. You're quite a man, Bill. Figure like yours.
Huh?
What's wrong, dear? You look confused.
I am confused. I thought you were saying I had sex appeal.
Oh, well, you have, dear. Haven't you, Bill?
Sure.
Stop laughing. George is lonely with sex appeal.
Yeah, he's a dream.
Oh, well, he is. Look at him.
I'm looking.
Okay, break it up. Break it up. Spread out. Anyway, Gracie, I'm glad you didn't try to flatter me this year into getting an Easter outfit.
Easter outfit?
Sure. Sunday is Easter.
My goodness, I'd forgotten it completely. George, I'll need $100 right away.
Nothing doing.
No money, huh?
No money.
Oh. My, you're handsome today.
We're back.
What sex appeal? I missed the boat,
it
huh?
It sailed without you.
Excuse, please, missy. Wong see you look very sad. You angry with Wong?
Oh, no. You're a fine cooking house boy, Wong. I'm angry with myself because I've been selfish.
So?
Yes. Every year I buy myself a nice new outfit so I'll attract attention in the Easter parade. But what did Mr. Burns get to wear in the Easter parade? Nothing.
Then he attracts more attention than you.
Oh, no. I mean, he has to wear an old worn-out suit. And it isn't fair. Well, by golly, this year I'm going to get him a new suit and I'll wear something old. I'll just wear that old dress I bought yesterday.
Missy make a big sacrifice.
Well, Mr. Burns is worth it. The way he works and slaves. Why, every week he has to stand in front of a microphone for a half hour holding that heavy script.
Mr. Burns walks like a dog.
Yeah, you bet. And he's so kind and unselfish. In the morning when our bedroom is icy cold, does he let me lie there and freeze? No. He lets me go down and fire that nice warm furnace.
Mr. Burns, very kind and generous, too. Miller locks up cigars.
Oh, do you take a cigar?
Sure. One sneaking down the basement and smoke them.
Oh, you don't have to hide. George doesn't mind if you like his cigars.
Oh, Wong don't like his cigars. Smoke them in basement to kill rats and mice.
Oh, I'll answer the door, Wong. Oh, hello, Mr. Judson.
Howdy, little lady. What's new?
Well, Sunday is Easter, and I'm going to surprise George and buy him a new suit. Will you join him in the Easter parade?
Well, now, I can't decide whether to spend Easter here in Hollywood or go home to Texas.
Oh, spend it in the sunshine where the flowers are in bloom and where you can parade with the world's handsomest men and the most beautiful women.
You sold me. I'll go home to Texas.
But I was described in California. Why, it's beautiful here. On a clear day in Los Angeles, you can see Catalina.
Well, now, that's something I sure would like to see.
Catalina?
No, a clear day in Los Angeles. Now, the air in Texas is what you really call clear. I can stand on my back porch and look 700 miles, clean to my back fence.
Well, we have some wonderful things, too, Mr. Judson. Now, for example, we have one of the finest police departments in the country.
Do tell.
All right, I will. One night, some burglars broke into our house and the dog barked and woke us. Well, it wasn't 2 minutes until the police arrived and gave us a summons for having a barking dog.
A summons for having a barking dog?
I like that.
Oh, hello, Mr. Justin.
Oh, howdy, little man.
And Mr. Justin and I, we're having a little friendly argument, George. He doesn't think much of our state.
Well, he just hasn't seen the wonders of California. The orange grove, the winery, the old mission.
Oh, yes, and he should have been at Capistrano the other day when the swallows returned.
Yeah, now, there's a romantic thing, Mr. Judson. No one knows where those swallows go in the wintertime. Well, they don't go to Texas. How do you know? If they did, they'd never come back to California. Mr. Judson, maybe you're crazy about Texas because that's where you made all your money. All my money? Well, I only got a piddling $32 million.
I thought it was $31 million.
Yeah, well, now, we had a little hard luck down home.
Something happened.
Yes, it did. My wife was out in the backyard cracking some ice to put in Grandpa's julep. The ice pick slipped off the cake of ice, stuck into the ground, and up come another darned all well.
You call that hard luck?
Grandpa had to drink his julep warm.
Poor old man.
Yeah. Well, I got to be running if I'm going to spend Easter in Texas. Goodbye, little lady. I hope that old rabbit lays some nice eggs for you Sunday.
Oh, George isn't on the radio till Thursday.
George isn't on the radio till Thursday.
Showers. Why, Meredith, you're playing George's favorite song.
Only this happy melody is everybody's favorite. April showers are nice to sing about, but let's hope they don't come a few days early and spoil our Easter parade.
Yes, indeed. For all America is looking forward to a pleasant stroll this Sunday, gaily decked out in cheerful spring finery. And across our land, every Fifth Avenue, yes, and every Main Street and Elm Drive will have its own gala Easter parade. For the tradition of bright new Easter bonnets, along with egg rolling contests and little gifts for the children, are all a happy and friendly part of each year's Easter Sunday American scene. And when the grown-ups sit down to Easter morning breakfast, they give a warm welcome to a friendly cup of the favorite brand of coffee on the American scene, and that coffee is Maxwell House. Americans love coffee, good coffee, which stresses this fact about Maxwell House. Today, more Americans buy and enjoy Maxwell House coffee than any other brand at any price. What explains our country's overwhelming preference for one particular brand, for Maxwell House? Well, it's flavor. That famous good to the last drop Maxwell House flavor you can attribute to the expert blending of these premium coffees. Montezales for Melanus. Medellins for richness. Other choice coffees for robust vigor. And Bucaramangas for fine, full body. All skillfully combined in the truly great Maxwell House blend. Radiant roasted to flavor perfection. And brought to you roaster fresh two ways. Either in the familiar blue vacuum tin or in the handy new vacuum glass jar. At breakfast tomorrow, you'll drink coffee. Then why not enjoy America's favorite brand? Why not enjoy the best in coffee drinking pleasure for just a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee sold? Tomorrow, ask for Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop. Well, the miracle on 34th Street is about to be topped by an even greater miracle on Camden Drive. Gracie is not going to buy herself a new Easter outfit. Instead, she's driving downtown right now to buy George a new suit and surprise him. In the car with her is her neighbor, Dr. Miller.
Oh, will you help me pick out George's suit, Doctor?
Oh, I'm sorry, Gracie. I'll have to jump out at the hospital. I'm psychoanalyzing a patient there in 5 minutes.
Oh, anything serious?
Oh, no, it's just a fixation. Every time this fellow gets frightened, he starts to hiccup.
Oh?
So ridiculous. There's no... Gracie, that light ahead of us has turned red.
I see it. See, I never take any chances. I always honk when I go through a red light.
But, Gracie, that policeman whistled at you.
Oh, Fresh? I'm going to report him. He does that every time I pass that corner.
As I was saying... There's no reason for fright to produce hiccups. A man has control of...
Mm-hmm.
Gracie, you're driving on the wrong side of the street.
Well, this is the shady side. If I drove with the sun in my eyes, we might have an accident.
But Gracie...
Oh, by the way, Doctor, how do I get to the hospital?
Just keep driving, I think. Well, there's the tailor shop. I can walk to the hospital from here.
Oh, look, there's a parking place.
Well, Gracie, I don't think it's large enough for this car.
Oh, don't be silly. Watch this. Huh. See, I made it fine. Oh, all that fender reminds me. I must get George's trousers with plenty of pleats. Well, see you later, Doctor.
Goodbye, Gracie. Thanks for the lift.
May I help you, madam?
Oh, yes. I want to get my husband the very best suit you can make to wear in the Easter parade Sunday. I'm willing to go as high as $20.
Well, the cheapest suit I make is $100.
$100 just for a man's suit? Well, that's almost as much as I pay for a hat.
But my suits are handmade from the very finest imported fabric.
Oh, well, all right. I'll take one.
Good. Now, first you pick out the bolt you like, and I'll use that for his suit.
The bolt? Can't you make it with buttons? The bolt is so unhandy, every time he took his suit off, he'd have to unscrew himself.
Yes. And by bolt, I mean bolt of material, like these here. Now, you select the fabric you think would look best on your husband.
Oh, this is pretty. What is it?
That's herringbone.
Oh. Well, it looks nice, but I'll bet on a hot day it smells awful.
It's not actually made of herringbones. It's made of wool. Wool comes from sheep. Sheep are animals.
You don't have to explain things to me. I've seen sheep. I know they milk them to get the wool.
Yes. Madam, perhaps you'd better send your husband in and let him pick out the material.
Oh, no, I can't. This suit has got to be a surprise for him.
But then how can I get his measurements?
Oh, yeah, that is a problem. I know. You come home with me, but don't let him see you. Then I'll take your tape measure and go in and ask him to dance. And while we're dancing, I'll take the measurements and call them out to you.
Well, it's a little unorthodox, but business is slow. I'll do it.
Oh, good. Now, just one thing. When I give you his height, subtract 2 inches. He's taller when he dances.
Why?
He stands on my feet. Now, you wait here in the living room and don't let my husband see you.
Okay.
Oh, hello, George. Let's dance.
Dance?
Sure, I've got my tape measure ready.
What's that for?
Oh, that's to measure and see that you don't dance too close to me, you Roseland Romeo.
I don't want to dance. I'm very comfortable.
Well, then you sit there and I'll dance around you.
Gracie, you're choking me with that tape measure.
Next 16.
Next 16.
What was that?
I didn't hear anything. Shoulder 16.
Shoulder 16.
I didn't hear that either.
What's going on here?
Hold still, dear. Chest 16.
Chest 16.
Gracie, there's somebody in the other room.
Oh, no, dear. That's an echo.
Echo?
A friend of mine just got back from the Swiss Alps and he brought me an echo for a souvenir.
Gracie, who's in the other room?
Hip 56.
Yes, 56.
I'm going in there and see who that is. I thought so. A man. Hey, you! Who was that?
That?
Yeah, that. Who was it?
I didn't want to tell you, George, but I guess I'll have to. He's a Vine Street wolf who followed me home.
A wolf? But why did you call out my measurements to him?
Well, I knew it would frighten him away when he heard what a physique my husband had. After all, you've just got about the most frightening physique in town.
Here's Meredith Wilson and the orchestra.
And now, look, lady, I've got to get back to my tailor shop. I can't stay around here playing hide-and-go-seek with your husband.
But if he finds out you're a tailor, it'll spoil the surprise of his Easter suit. You just hide here in the bushes till I get the rest of his measurements for you.
Let's guess at them. How tall is your husband?
5'10", or 4'2" in a stocking feet.
He's only 4'2" in his stocking feet?
Well, yes, he always sits down when he takes the shoes off.
Yes. Well, that's close enough for the measurements. When can I get the $100 to pay for the suit?
Well, I'll have to... Oh, shh. Here comes a friend of ours, Bill Goodwin. Hide quick. I'll see you later.
Come in. Hi, George. Hey, there's a guy hiding outside in the bushes. Friend of yours?
That's the guy who followed Gracie.
Huh?
Hiding outside, is he? Well, he's going to get the beating of his life. Here, Bill, take my coat.
Okay.
You'll need it. It's cold out there.
You want me to do it?
Well, when I get in a fight, I always skin up my knuckles.
You ought to learn to fall with your hands in your pockets.
Go on, Bill. Beat him up.
Well, why should I? Who is he?
Well, he's a wolf who followed Gracie down here from Vine Street.
Followed Gracie down Vine Street? Right, I'll break his neck.
Right, a boy.
I'll tear him limb from
limb. You're working.
He's working my territory.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Hi, Gracie.
Bill's going to beat up on that wolf who followed you home.
Oh, no, Bill, you mustn't.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, he's very big and tough.
Well, I can take him, Gracie.
Sure. Bill wrestles 3 nights a week.
Yeah, but this is a man.
I got other holes. Well, get out there and tear that wolf to pieces, Bill. Don't be a coward.
Oh, all right, Bill. Wouldn't you rather just stay here and have a nice hot cup of Maxwell House coffee?
Go on, Bill. Get up.
What a spot. If I say yes, I look like a coward. If I say no, I look for a new job. Well, there's only one decision a red-blooded he-man can make. Attaboy. I'll keep my job and stay here.
Call that decision red-blooded?
Well, if you don't eat, you get anemic.
Oh.
Besides, George, who can resist Maxwell House? It's the very best in coffee-drinking pleasure, yet it costs but a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee you can buy. Make 3 cups, Gracie. One for you, one for George, and one for me.
Bill, the wolf outside, remember?
Well, okay, make it 4 cups, Gracie. No one should be without Maxwell House. You know, with more than 1,000 brands to choose from, more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world.
I'll go right out and make the coffee.
Bill, you're not going to give that guy Maxwell House coffee.
By golly, you're right, George. I'm going to open that door and tell him a few things.
Right. Hey, you.
Yeah, what do you want?
You take cream and sugar in your coffee? Well, of course, Maxwell House is delicious with or without. And it comes to you roaster fresh 2 ways now. In the familiar blue vacuum tin or in the handy new vacuum glass jar.
Hey, look, what goes on here? Do I make the Easter suit or not?
Easter suit? Who are you?
I'm a tailor.
A tailor?
Sure. Your wife ordered an Easter suit and I'm waiting for my $100.
And after I told her no Easter outfit, I'll bet she's scheming right now to take me for the money. Well, the deal's off, mister. Now, scram.
Hey, well, what are you so excited about, George?
Nobody's going to take me for 100.
Well, of course they're not. You don't look a day over 90.
Go.
Oh, I hated to bother you, Meredith, but as I told you on the phone, I've absolutely got to get $100 from George. Did you think of any ideas?
Yes, Gracie. I procured a pair of loaded dice from one of the members of my orchestra.
Oh, which one?
The leader.
But you're the leader.
Not anymore. I have to let him lead now. He owns all the instruments.
Oh, well, I don't want to cheat George out of his money with crooked dice. I'd rather cheat him out of it honestly.
Well, why don't you tell him you need a tonsillectomy?
Yeah, I'll tell them they're having a sale on them at the May Company.
Gracie, a tonsillectomy is an operation.
That's just the thing, an operation. But, Meredith, we'll be subtle. We'll pretend to hide the news from George, and that'll make him more interested.
I catch on.
He's in the den. Let's go to work. Oh, Meredith, come in and close the door. We mustn't let George know that I'm in desperate need of an operation.
Gracie, you're right. Why, if that warm-hearted, generous man found out, he'd mortgage his home to get the $100 for the operation.
Yes.
What's all this?
Oh, George, you're here.
Hmm.
You heard. No, no. Put away the $100. I'm not taking it.
I'm not giving it.
But, George, Gracie's very ill. She was just examined by one of the Mayo sisters.
That's the Mayo brothers.
Please. Your wife is a woman.
Oh, go.
But, George, she needs an immediate operation. She must go on the table at once.
Yes, we reserved one at the Brown Derby.
The Brown Derby?
Well, the doctor's crazy about movie stars, and he wants to watch the celebrities while he works.
Gracie, you couldn't get an operation for $100. All you'd get for that is an anesthetic.
All right, give me the $100, and I'll just take the anesthetic.
Out, both of you, go. Oh, cut it out. Stop with that. You're not getting $100 from me to buy yourself an Easter dress.
Easter dress? I wanted the money to buy you a suit.
Me?
Yes.
Is that why you had the tailor here?
Oh, sure. I wanted it to be a surprise.
Oh, sweetheart, I'm sorry.
And all this time you've been thinking of me.
You don't even appreciate it.
Oh, no, no, no. Don't cry. Here's $100.
Oh, thank you.
But don't spend it on me. Because you are so sweet, I want you to buy an outfit for yourself.
Oh, you mean it? It's all for me?
All for you.
Oh, I must make a note of this. It may work again next Easter.
George and Gracie will return in just a moment. Join us again next Thursday when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Bill Goodwin, Meredith Wilson, and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Toby Reed. And now, here are our stars.
Well, thanks for letting me buy the new dress, George. But what have you got to wear in the Easter parade?
Well, there's the suit I graduated from high school in, the suit I wore in vaudeville, the suit I got married in.
Well, if it's good enough for high school, vaudeville, and marriage, it's good enough for the Easter parade. Take it off and have it cleaned.
Good things.
The easy way.
Do you like good things the easy way? Then get instant Maxwell House coffee.
So good.
So good. True coffee flavor and fragrance, because instant Maxwell House is not a so-called coffee product. It's all pure Maxwell House coffee in instant form.
And so easy.
So easy. Instant Maxwell House means great coffee instantly in your cup. No fuss, no muss, no bother. Today, try instant Maxwell House. Instantly good to the last drop. Until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House Coffee. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show is written by Keith Fowler and Paul Henning. And now, stay tuned in for Noah Webster Says, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.